Okay, this week's Sedra has a few things in it that are very relevant to current events, and I want to speak about them. First, we have an introduction to kanos, zealousness. Somebody doing something in the name of Hashem that is extreme, murdering two people, killing two people, and getting rewarded for it, and saving the Jewish people from a plague. That's Pinchas. Okay. So I have to understand, first of all, what exactly Pinchas did, why he did what he did, and why it was sanctioned, and not only that, rewarded, and why it has no relevance to what in current events may seem remotely similar. Start with Pinchas. First of all, Pinchas killed people who were in the midst of a terrible sin that the Torah itself said that the punishment for that sin is kanoim pogimbo. Right? If God doesn't take care of it, somebody who is zealous and feels the pain of the terrible chilul Hashem that's being caused by a Jewish man living publicly with a non-Jewish woman. So the halacha is kanoim pogimbo. Somebody who feels that hurt is allowed to kill those people. If he comes to ask if he should do it or not, he's told not to do it. And if he does it after that, he's a murderer. If he doesn't do it with the most pure intentions of ridding the Chilul Hashem and saving the Jewish people, then he's also a murderer. In fact, the tribes, it says, after Pinchas killed Zimri and Cosby, and it was obvious that he did it for very, very lofty reasons. These were public, terrible sinners. The tribes came and they said that Pinchas is a murderer and that he did this because he came from Yisro, who in his past, what's it called, genealogy, he had people that fattened animals for the sake of idolatry. And that's the source of what he did. And God had to come and say, no, it's not true. I vouch for him. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. What brought him to do what he did was not negative, was to bring peace to the Jewish people. Okay, so you see that the tribes were not immediately wrong. God had to testify that they were wrong. So in this situation, they were wrong. But anybody who would do such a thing and not have the most pure motives would end up being a murderer. Right? We'll see that the Torah describes exactly what he did, and therefore Yecheskel Sarna says that in the Mesillas Yesharim he speaks about kanos, about zealousness. He doesn't speak about it in the beginning of the book up until the Midah of Chasidus. That means only a chasid, somebody who is extra special, can actually carry out an act of zealousness. And if you're not on that level, then the probability of your doing it not properly, right, is very great, and no one has the right to be a zealous person. He's not a chassid. Okay. And that's why the Torah says the following, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. First, God says, I'll tell you the source of his zealousness. It did not come from a desire to hurt or destroy, but from a pure desire of peace. What's peace? Peace does not mean quiet, the serenity, right? The absence of strife and war. No. Peace means perfection and harmony. And sometimes, to bring about perfection and harmony, you have to fight for it. Ein shalom omer Hashem l'rasha. To wicked people, there is no peace because there is no harmony and perfection. They destroy the harmony and perfection of the world. And therefore, sometimes to bring peace and harmony and perfection, you have to fight wicked people and even destroy them. The classic example of that in modern times was the appeasement of Hitler by Chamberlain, right, who was going to bring peace to the world. What did he bring? The most terrible destruction there ever was. because he had tried to appease an evil person. If he would have gone to war with him to begin with and stopped, nipped Hitler in the bud, who knows what would have been different in history. So, and there's a source to that also, one, many sources, but one clear one is the following. It says it in the Psukim, it says that David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because his hands were sullied with the blood of all the wars that he made. And the Beis HaMikdash is a house of peace, and he couldn't build a house of peace. That's what it seems from the Psukim. The Medrash says just the opposite. God said to David, I can't let you build the Beis HaMikdash, because if you'll build the Beis HaMikdash, it will be eternal, and I won't be able to destroy it. And I can't have an undestroyable Beis HaMikdash at this point in history, because if the Jewish people sin, I'm going to have the option of destroying the Beis HaMikdash in order not to destroy them. If there's nothing that I can do that will shock them into a rehabilitation that may take thousands of years, but the fact that I'll destroy the Beis HaMikdash will affect that, then I'm going to have to destroy them if they reach that level. And I don't want not to have the option of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. They seem to be very contradictory. From what seems to be in the Psukim, it seems to be negative. David HaMelech did all these wars, and therefore he couldn't build a house of peace. And here it says that if he would have built the house of peace, it would have been eternal. There's no contradiction at all. Who did David HaMelech kill? Wicked people who were destroying the perfection and the harmony in the world. So he brought perfection and harmony to the world by ridding the world of these evil people. And that was shalom that was actively, aggressively brought. That's a very strong peace. Whereas Shlomo HaMelech just never had any strife, never had any wars. He had a passive shalom. A passive shalom can't build a Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. An aggressive, active shalom can. So that is Pinchas ben Elazar. Pinchas was not motivated by negative feelings, not from the side of the family of Yisro, but just the opposite, the side of the family of Aaron HaKohen. What was Aaron HaKohen's hallmark? Ohev Shalom, the Rodev Shalom, Ohev HaSabrios U'Makarvin LaTorah. Aaron was the epitome of loving peace and harmony, and this wasn't a factor of that. It was not a factor of idolatry or whatever. And then, what's it called? Reb Chaim Brisker says that there's two kinds of zealous people. It says here, the next thing is Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen, Heishiv Eschamos b'Am Yisrael. His act of zealousness achieved an atonement. A healing of the Jewish people. There was a plague going on because of this terrible sin, because of this terrible Chilul Hashem. And Pinchas stopped the plague with what he did. He helped the Jewish people. He put them into a situation where they were better off, not worse off. That's the second condition. And the third condition is Bekanoes Kinosi. He didn't do it to express his own feelings, but he felt my feelings. The Kanoes Kinosi, it was my zealousness that he took over. He was just an extension of me. Right? Reb Chaim Brisker says there's two kinds of zealots. One is compared to a housewife and the other one to the cat. If there's a mouse loose in the house, there's two zealots that want to get rid of that mouse. The housewife wants to get rid of the mouse and the cat wants to get rid of the mouse. There's a very big difference in their motivation. The housewife would rather not have any mice in her house and is hoping there'll never be another mouse, but as long as there's a mouse, you got to get rid of it. The cat, on the other hand, revels in the fact that there's mice and hopes there'll be a lot more. The zealot, who does it completely l'shem shamayim, there is a problem, and we have to get rid of the problem because otherwise it's going to cause havoc in the Jewish people, that zealot is positive. The one who's looking to for action, right? It would be boring if there weren't people Mechal Shabbos. I couldn't go out and protest, right? What kind of boring Shabbos would that be? So he's doing it to get action for his own purposes. That's a zealot that is unfit. The one who does it purely because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. In those situations where the halacha is like that, then fine. The and that was what's it called? And therefore, in our time, it has to be something that again. That it was clear that what Pinchas did caused a positive result in the world, not a negative result. That's why the Chazon Ish says the following. Even though there's a halacha, that an apikoros, a min, a person who is staunchly anti the Torah and spews heresy, there is a mitzvah to kill such a person. Not today. Don't go out and, you know, wait. Today that mitzvah does not apply at all, and I'll tell you why. Not that the Torah changed, but the reason for it doesn't apply anymore. We're not talking about people who were misguided, who were educated and brought up differently. We're talking about people who learned in yeshivas, right, know everything and rebel and spew heresy. Okay?
There are people like that.
Yeah, there are people like that. There's still no mitzvah to do anything to them, except to maybe argue with them or whatever. Okay, there are very few people. Hold on, call the question for the end. Why is there a mitzvah to do that? Let's explain first, and I'll tell you why there's no mitzvah today, and then we'll see the difference between what Pinchas did and what people do today, in the guise of that. Imagine the following, okay? Somebody's on a rooftop with a machine gun, killing innocent people as they pass in the street. And you've tried every method to stop him from doing that. Right? You called in a psychiatrist, right, to try to talk him down, right, and didn't work. Psychiatrist said, you know, let's see how we feel about killing people or whatever, and it didn't work, right? The guy shot the psychiatrist. Then you called his poor mother, and she came and promised to bake him special cookies if he comes down off the roof, and he shot his mother. And there's no way of getting him down. He's killing people left and right. And you call in a sniper, and you shoot him dead. What would be the headlines in the paper the next day? Sniper murders this poor person on the roof, or a hero, he saved innocent people from being killed. Right? Well, I think most people would say he was a hero. Most people would say he's a hero. And at least, right, and the people who say he's not a hero need their head examined, and they should be stumbled on the street in that situation. Right? In any case, it's logically speaking, the guy who shoots him, if there's no other Eitzah, is a hero. Okay? He saved innocent lives from some Russia who is calculating and on purpose killing innocent people. Okay? So, he's a hero. Okay, now Chazal say from this week's Sedra, Golu HaMachtio Yosher Me'ahorgo, someone who makes you sin is greater than someone who kills you, is worse. Because someone who kills you only kills you in this world. If someone makes you sin, makes you die in this world and the next world, if he makes you sin. Okay? He takes away your Olam Haba too. And therefore, we had a mitzvah to go and take revenge on the Midyanim who made us sin. We never had a mitzvah to go and take revenge on the Egyptians or the Ace Edom who did terrible physical things to us, but the ones who did spiritual things we did. So therefore, imagine a person spewing heresy, causing people to sin, right? Causing people to go against the Torah or whatever. So those are spiritual bullets, and those spiritual bullets are much more dangerous than physical bullets. Physical bullets can only kill you in this world. Right? And in addition, let's say if a person is not shooting people, but he is igniting or detonating some dirty radioactive bomb. Doesn't kill anybody, but he sends into the air radioactivity that's going to kill people slowly, right, in a radius of maybe 10 miles. Before he detonates that bomb, it's a mitzvah to kill him too. And if he's going to detonate more and more bombs, it's a mitzvah to kill him before he does more and more. Every sin, every person who is that kind of Russia pollutes the world in a spiritual way. And we don't know what kind of havoc that wreaks in the world, all that spiritual pollution, just as much as physical pollution wreaks havoc in the world, right? Now today you can understand a little bit. People say, well, you know, live and let live. So he's spewing his apikoros. you know, that's his business. What is he harming you? But would you say the same thing if, in fact, right, spraying fluorocarbons into the atmosphere would immediately affect the ozone layer and immediately let radiation come into the world and cause cancer to 10,000 people the other end of the world? Right? If that would be, would you say, well, he's only spraying his own personal underarm in the privacy of his house, so why stop him? No, you stop him because he's polluting the world in a way that's causing 10,000 people to get cancer on the other end of the world. So it's not his own private business. Right? And if the only way to stop him and save 10,000 people is to get rid of him, get rid of him. If he does this wantonly and couldn't care and you've tried to stop him or whatever, whatever. So we'd understand that in physical terms. Why doesn't the same thing apply in spiritual terms? The answer is because we don't see that. Physical bullets you see. You see the result. We don't see the result. Says the Chazon Ish, in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when it was obvious in the world that sins caused damage, right? And you could relate cause and effect. People who are sinning with the terrible, devastating results, and a sinner of that magnitude is mamish like a person killing innocent people, then killing that person, maybe Kiddush Hashem. People knew you were ridding the world of a person killing people in cold blood. But today, we don't see that relationship. And even people who believe don't see it. I'll prove it to you in a second. I'll tell you a story. True story. In the 1960s, before the tshuva movement was very popular, and there were very, very few balei tshuva, there was a young man in Detroit who became frum. Right? It was an anomaly at that time. Somebody who was not frum became frum. Became frum. He had grown up in a conservative family, conservative Judaism, conservative temple that he went to. After he became religious, right, he realized that the conservative rabbi who he grew up in his temple was misleading him all this time. So he went to the conservative temple on a Shabbos, and in the middle of the rabbi's drasha, he shot him dead. That's exactly why the halacha doesn't apply today, because of that reaction. Because you didn't say, oh, good, he rid the world of this guy spewing all this heresy. No, and I didn't say it either. When I heard it then, I said, the guy's a nut, he's a deranged. Ridiculous, the guy's insane, obviously. Right? I wouldn't have said the same thing if somebody told me that they shot a terrorist on the roof. But we don't see the equation. We don't see that's the same. Right? And even if you say you believe it. You don't see it. It's not real to you or to me. And therefore, what would happen if somebody did that is exactly what happened. Rechilul Hashem. Guy's insane. You see, religious people are insane. They kill people in the name of religion. There's no way that anybody could understand that in a way that's positive, right? And therefore, instead of bringing more honor to God, you're bringing terrible chilul Hashem. So what are you trying to do? Take away sins and the pollution, and you're creating more. So that Pinchas did what he did. It saved the Jewish people. The results were definitely positive, were clearly positive. Right? And he did it with the most altruistic reasons in order to bring peace and harmony to the world. That kind of zealousness is okay. Anything that's missing any one of those conditions is murder. So, therefore, what's it called? Without having the most altruistic reasons, feeling the pain, the Mesillas Yesharim says, how could a person see someone hit, insult his parents, and not get angry and not react? It must be you don't love your parents. If you really love your parents, how could you stand by idly and not react? If you really love God, how could you stand by idly and see his name being trampled, right, and everything that he stands for being trampled publicly and not react? Okay, so that is what's it called. And therefore, what was Pinchas' reward? And the Medrash says, Bidinhu Shiakabel Scharo. He deserves this reward, meaning it was Mida Keneged Mida. It was tit for tat. What did he do? What was his reward? Hinani no sein lo brisi shalom. First thing, he gets my covenant of shalom, because that's what he did. He created shalom in a very aggressive way. But he brought peace and harmony back to the Jewish people, because what was going on was the opposite of that. And he became a Kohen. Kohuna Solom. What does a Kohen do? Atone for the Jewish people. He did two things. He brought shalom and he atoned. And that's exactly the reward he got. He got the bris shalom and the ability to atone. That was kanos, okay? But kanos that is not within the realm of halacha, where there is no halacha to kill an innocent non-Jew. You can kill non-Jews if they're coming to kill you. And then you're allowed to kill them. You don't have to wait till they try and miss, like the Israeli army says, right? But you're allowed to get up. You know somebody is designing to kill you, for sure. You get up early in the morning, go to his house, and shoot him first, before he shoots you, right? Hashkim lahargo. You get up and, what's it called, kill him first. You're allowed to defend yourself. That's clear. So if somebody who comes, Jew or non-Jew, comes to kill me, I'm allowed to kill him. Not allowed to kill him, I probably have to kill him because I have to save my life. I can't commit suicide. That's in a war situation. In a war situation, right, you're allowed to kill. Now, even in that situation, where you go to war, right, except for when the Torah said you have to kill every man, woman, and child by the seven nations, and that's God's command, or by Amalek. But otherwise, you go to a war situation, you kill men who are coming to kill you. You don't kill women and children if they are not, what's it called, threatening you. If a woman comes in and wants to kill you, kill her too. But in most situations, the women and the children are not the ones who are involved in the war. Right? On the other hand, if the women and the children are aiding the people who are killing you, and they're making it, what's it called, that your life is in danger because of them, because the enemy is using them as human shields or whatever, then you're allowed to save your life, even though these people are going to suffer. That's only in a war situation. But stop to pick some goy off the street who's not threatening you, right, and kill him is 100% not only wrong, it's murder. Besides being murder, it is a chilul Hashem. Besides being a chilul Hashem, the people who did that are rotfin, because they cause danger to the Jewish people. They don't bring good to the Jewish people. But as Yaakov Avinu said to Shimon and Levi when they killed out the whole city of Shechem, and maybe they had reason to feel that they were right in doing that, because this city harbored the kidnapper and the rapist of their sister. And they wanted to make a message that you can't do this, what's it called, to a Jewish girl. And Yaakov Avinu said, you're putting a sword in the hand of our enemies because they're going to say we're a bunch of murderers just like they are. And they can do whatever they want. So all of the reasons why what Pinchas did was positive, he got rewarded, don't apply over here. Just the opposite. It's the complete opposite. And so somebody would say, well, an Arab's an Arab. Right? Arabs are our enemies, and every Arab, even a defenseless 16-year-old boy, is our enemy, and therefore is absurd. It reminds me of the joke. I think my father told me this joke, Olav HaShalom. So a guy walks into a bar, and he sees a Chinaman sitting there at the bar. He runs over to the Chinaman, and he says, "Remember Pearl Harbor," and he punches him in the mouth. Chinaman gets off the floor, and he says, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "Because Pearl Harbor." He said, "Pearl Harbor was the Japanese. I'm Chinese." He said, "Japanese, Chinese, they're all the same." The guy says, "Tell me, you're Jewish?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Then remember the Titanic," and he punches him in the mouth. He says, "The Titanic, that was sunk by an iceberg." He says, "Iceberg, Greenberg, is all the same thing." That is as foolish as Arab. Man, Arab's an Arab, right? Arabs who are murderers, who are out to kill you, and a poor, defenseless 16-year-old are not the same thing. That you can't have collective guilt just because somebody belongs to... By Amalek, maybe yes, because their God said so. Until God tells you openly, right, that these people are your enemy, they're not your enemy unless they're your enemy. Which seems should be pretty simple. But that is the case. So, therefore, anyone who equates what Pinchas did, zealousness, right, of killing people who are... where it may apply, but under the most extreme and ideal conditions, to somebody taking in their hands the law and zealously doing something that not only doesn't help the Jewish people, not only doesn't do something that God condones, but is murder, right? And it hurts the Jewish people. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And somebody who did that is a rodeif, couldn't be allowed to kill that person, because if he do it again, because he is pursuing the Jewish people and causing people to be able to kill us and justify it, because look what kind of people we are. At the same time, right? It's, you can't say, well, you see, they do it and we do it, so we're the same as them. We're not, because every organization, every person, there's no Jew that I know of who came out and said, danced on the rooftops when they killed this boy. Everybody came out and castigated it in the strongest terms. Every Jewish group from one extreme to the other, right? And when they do it, right, they had their regular population, right, rejoicing when these three boys were, right, they used to make a sign with the three shalits or whatever. When they brought the Twin Towers down, these people were dancing on their rooftops. When they were shooting missiles at us from Iraq, they were dancing in the street. We don't dance at other people's misfortune, right? At best, we're sometimes too much bleeding hearts. But in any case, to equate us with them is still a completely different thing. But that action was 100% wrong, in the strongest terms. The however, in war, fighting against people who are destroying and want to kill you, there's no mercy. Just the opposite. A person who has mercy on cruel people is a person who really is cruel. Because if you have mercy on cruel people, you're going to eventually have cruelty on merciful people. It's misplaced mercy, right? The Shmuel HaNavi, when he had to kill Agag, right? He killed him in a cruel way. He cut him in half. Because that's mercy. Having to take away that evil person, this person who killed men, women, and children, Amalek, Agag, right? By being cruel against him, that's the greatest mercy. And if you have mercy on such people, basically you're cruel, and it's going to end up being cruel on merciful people too, which happened with Shaul HaMelech. So therefore, there's a mitzvah, nikom, nikmas, right, where God says to take revenge. Somebody actively is coming against you, and to take revenge on them, not just to take revenge, but to fight them, to stop the threat. There's a mitzvah in that, and the mitzvah is to do it in the most effective way possible, and again, to avoid killing innocent people. But innocent people are people who are not involved, not people who are offering, right, human shields for the people who are out to kill you. Right, then it's them or you, then you have precedence over somebody who wants to kill you. And that is who it says that the enemies of God are the people who are enemies of the Jewish people. Either they claim to be religious people or whatever, right? But we are God's people, and people who hate us and fight against us are enemies of God. And those who are enemies of God and fight against Him are our enemies too. The two can't be separated. And therefore we have a mitzvah to kill people when it applied, like we explained, that are enemies of God, and we also have a mitzvah to kill people who are enemies of us, because that is also the enemy. And that's why it says that when we went to fight Midian, who made us sin, it was God's revenge, and it was also our revenge, because the two things are equated. So at the same time, in current events, right, we are going after the people who are trying to kill us, right? And then they turn the tables and say, well, we're, you know, Nebuch, we got out of Gaza. We're not even in there anymore. We left without anything, right? Left it to them, right? And still, they blame us, right? Not only that, we are providing electricity that they don't pay for, so they can make their rockets, but to shoot against us.
Right? Also humanitarian aid they send to Gaza.
Right. It's beyond belief. How much? There's no other country in the world that would be expected to do this, right?
Well,
and yet, and the whole world, right? Why do we do that?
Everyone holds Israel to a double standard.
Right. It's unbelievable, the double standard, right? And we're the ones to blame. It's if you look at it on paper, it doesn't make any sense. But that's it. You know, hatred blinds people's eyes, and unfortunately, there is a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism in the world, and people hate Jews. whatever reason, right? And most of it is irrational. So that's what we have to put up with. So to worry about what the world's going to say, they're going to say anyway, no matter what we do. If we put a gun to our heads and shoot ourselves, they're going to blame us for dirtying or polluting the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. So nothing's going to help. So once and for all, they should finish this off. Not be worried what the world is screaming, or Obama, or this one, or that one, or the European, Union. Who cares? Who cares? They're going to scream anyway. So they'll scream a little bit more, so when it's over, it's over. We'll be safe, and they'll be screaming. They'll be screaming if we didn't do it. Last time we did that, we let them... It's absurd. Mamish. We turn off the electricity to a Jew that can't pay his bill. They owe millions of dollars. And they don't turn the electricity there. And they're using electricity to create more missiles to shoot at us. It's the most absurd thing you can imagine. And there's no country in the world that would ever do such a thing. Or let them shoot one missile into Staten Island. Okay? I guarantee you America will go berserk. Right? But here, we are supposed to have restraint. Restraint. Who ever told restraint the rest of the world? So in this kind of case, you have to go with the cruelty that you can to destroy your enemies. But to take innocent people, right, and use them as a message or whatever the deranged ideas of these, unfortunately, they were kids. Right? They were kids who did this, who got it because they heard from adults or whatever crazy ideas. So it's Rachmanis. But again, one other thing is, don't make these people guilty till they're proven guilty. Because I already heard that out of the six that were arrested, three were let go. Right? Because they had nothing to do with it. So just because they arrested people and said they did this, doesn't mean they did it. It's very possible that they're totally innocent and the police had to find somebody fast. Right? And they just picked six people, and you know, these people once deflated somebody's tire, so of course they did this murder. You don't know, but I heard they let three go already. They let them go, that means they had nothing to do with it. Yeah. Okay, you don't know, right, you don't know until it comes out, and what the confession and who the confession. There's plenty of Arabs who confessed and they claim that they were forced into confessing or whatever. They didn't have a chance to have a lawyer. Let's hear what's but if it happened, right, no matter who did it, right, if it unfortunately was a Jew, what I said applies. Whether it applies to these specific people or not, I don't know who they are. Right, that's a court of law has to decide. Yeah.
Rabbi Lev, when you talked about heroics, what I thought about is one of the lessons in Shemona Esther is Lamal Shanim, and I thought I had read somewhere that was added because of heretics.
Right. The minim. Originally it said not Lamal Shinim, the slanderers, but Velaminim. The minim were the early Christians who were a Jewish sect but were heretics. Heretics. And it was made specifically against them.
Correct.
Right, so that's, yeah. Okay, and Mirz Hashem, okay, we're going now into the 3 weeks, and hopefully we'll need a nechama. So from all this nechama should come a nechama, and that's a much better way of having the world reach perfection and peace with nechama than with nechama. We shouldn't have to go and fight anybody, right? Ultimately, right, Mashiach is going to come after these wars of Gog and Magog. Let's be finished with that already and see a world where there's peace and harmony, and the non-Jewish world works together with us, not against us, and we could all live very happily together, right, with the goal of serving the Rabbanim.